This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Lori Vallow doesn't want to wear the rack belt. I don't know if it's rack belt or RACC belt or let's electrocute Lori Vallow Daybell belt. That'd be a fun little thing to sell at like Kmart.
Are there still Kmarts?
No, there isn't. But in theory, if there was a Kmart, or here's one for you, and it's only regional. So if you're in the region, you may remember this at the Prangy Way.
I have no idea what that is.
There was a Prangy Way in Wausau years ago.
What is it?
It was a discount. Remember this store, Prangy's?
No.
Yonkers ended up becoming that, and Prangy's, it was like their cheap version of their stuff. It was like Dayton's made Target, but that sort of a thing. Anyway,
people in the Midwest would know exactly what all that is.
There's seven people who now know what I'm talking about.
No, I think we're at 10.
There's your retail history for the day as we talk about Lori Vallow. She doesn't want to wear the belt. I guess you're representing yourself. You may not want to wear that belt. It might not be a great look for you, especially if they have to use it while you're cross-examining someone, which would be quite amazing. That wouldn't be good, but it's Lori Vallow we're talking about here. In fact, on this recording, on this video, or audio, if you're listening on audio, you're missing out because I have created some AI reenactments or interpretations of what this may look like in a courtroom with Lori Vallow Daybell. And I'm going to play some of them throughout this. Would you like to see one of them?
Sure, let's go for it.
Would you like to start out and see one of these wonderful experiences that we may have happen in the courtroom?
Before you hit play, I may not be able to see it. It looks like you are blocked out right now. So you may not get the reaction you're looking for.
I'm blocked out. What do you mean I'm blocked out?
I can't see you.
Why can't you see me? Oh, hang on. I got to hit this one. There we go. Now you should be able to see it.
Oh, there you are. Now I'll be able to see it.
Okay, here we go. This is a possibility of what may happen in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. So if they have to use the rack belt. I'm just trying to get it queued up here. And let's move this over a little bit.
So this is AI.
This is AI.
Okay, that's not her. The hair looks
It's a picture of her. It's a picture from the courtroom. And then we added a little stuff to it. So sparks are flying out of her.
She looks possessed.
She does. And then more sparks start coming. So that could be one possibility. I think that might be the
same. AI is really frightening.
Here's another version of it where she looks possessed and it's spooky.
It's very spooky.
This is what we could end up seeing in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell if they have to use the rack belt, everyone.
You think the heavens will just open up and start sparking at her?
If she does have the powers that she says she has, suspect that she'd be like transported over to Idaho again, back to Rexburg, where she can go, rule and be there with Chad for all of eternity.
AI is really frightening.
Oh, it's
because if you don't understand that's AI that we're seeing, and for those of you only listening to audio, it's striking what's happening here in this video. It looks real, and even knowing it's AI, for just a brief second, you're like, "Whoa!"
It is.
That looks real.
It's a bit spooky. So if you guys want to see what that may look like in the courtroom, go ahead and check out our YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. And if you're already there, press subscribe, please. so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case. So she doesn't want to wear the belt. That's not a huge surprise. That was the first real moment of tension in court just the other day before the jury selection began. She told the judge flat out, if there's an armed guard in the courtroom, why does she need to wear a restraint device under her clothes? The judge didn't budge, and he said, the belt stays. It's not visible to the jury. It's not negotiable, and it's part of the order. End of discussion. And that set the tone for the rest of the hearing.
Because
from there on out, it gets more and more exciting, more and more dramatic. Lori spent the afternoon pushing hard to get her case thrown out. She claimed prosecutorial misconduct, violations of her rights, missing records, and withheld evidence one after another. Her motions came in hot. And one after another, the judge shut them all down. I'm going to play a little bit of this here for you.
Yeah, what I'm going to tell you, as somebody that I recall being a petulant teenager and yelling at my mom about, well, you know, Carrie gets to do this and I don't, you know, I don't understand why Carrie gets to do this and I don't. That's exactly what this sounds like.
Very, very much so. Here's one of those clips from court. Let's get this cued there. And where's my play button? This is lovely. Hang on. Didn't quite frame itself up well.
Dust off your vacation dust.
Oh, here it is. There we go.
Tony's, I feel like the state is trying to say, okay, if you want your speedy trial, guess what? We're not going to let you defend yourself. Guess what? You can't have any experts. And guess what else? You can't have any witnesses. You can't have anybody speak in your behalf. So good luck. Have a nice day.
All right. Well, that's why attorneys sometimes take a long time to prepare for a trial, because they need to give notice of what all the testimony their witnesses are going to give. They need their experts to prepare reports. That's why your prior attorneys and your current attorneys were asking for more time to prepare the case. So you can't really have it both ways, that you want your speedy trial rights, but you don't want to give notice to the other side of what your evidence is.
I don't not want to give notice to the other side. With the limitations at the incarcerated state where I am, and the limitations with OPDS of getting Lonnie Dworkin late in the game that they did, I've done everything in my power as a defendant to prepare and prepare the state and to give over everything that I could do within my power with the limitations that I am an incarcerated person at this maximum security prison jail.
So when you say,
and I shouldn't be able to represent myself because of that fact, that negates my constitutional right.
She's just all word salad. It's just like, it doesn't even make sense. A word that she is speaking, it's all just gibberish.
Oh, it sounds good on the outside, but none of it means anything in a court of law.
No, I mean, it's just utterly insane. It feels like, with the way that she's speaking here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty sobering. And did we, forgive me if I'm failing to remember this, but why did she decide to defend herself? Do you recall that at all? Why isn't she having lawyers do this?
It was one of those things where she had a public defender. They didn't get along. And I guess...
Oh, imagine that.
Yeah, but I guess rather than going and pulling the card of suitcase murderer, what's her name?
Oh, yes.
I can tell you in 2 seconds.
I can't recall her name.
Sarah Boone.
There you go.
Yeah. So you didn't want to pull a Sarah Boone, I guess. So with that, she decided that she was just going to go full on. I'm not good with names today. Ted Bundy. She's going to go full on Bundy, basically.
Well, Bundy, didn't he go to law school, but he never passed the bar, or he never took the bar?
I don't know the exact answer to that question.
I feel like he was in law school.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that one up. That one I can understand. If you are an aspiring attorney and, gee, you happen to be held over for murder, it might be kind of fun to represent yourself. But Lori, she's a hairdresser.
Yeah, it's a little bit different of a situation with Lori, I would say.
Ted Bundy, not Al Bundy, correct?
Yes, not Al Bundy. Al Bundy actually, I believe, just celebrated like his 80th birthday, which is kind
no.
of...
No.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Don't you feel old?
Yeah. You have no idea.
So she argued the state intercepted her private messages with her Idaho appellate attorney. Conversations she believed were protected by attorney-client privilege. The judge disagreed. He said there was no actual legal advice in the messages, just kind of surface-level stuff, like trying to set up a legal line. And when Lori pushed back, saying there was confidential information, the judge made it clear. The breach, if any, came from her side. According to him, her appellate attorney used the communication system incorrectly, which is how the messages ended up in the hands of the state. Lori was a little frustrated at this.
Oh, she was terribly frustrated. By the way, yes, he was in law school. I just wanted to throw that out there and be done with it because I really don't want to stare at his face.
So Lori was a little frustrated. She cut in and was asking, you know, how was he using it incorrectly? She asked the judge, clearly over it. He said he'd already explained it like five different ways and he was not going to do it again. But she wasn't done. Lori also added that the prosecutor should have never read the messages once they had them. The judge repeated that the messages weren't privileged in the first place. And even if they were, no confidential content was shared. Next came some more of her lines of attack in this. She claimed that the state failed to give her team necessary documents and interfered with her defense. The judge asked the obvious question, why wasn't this raised months ago? She said it was, but again, there was no evidence and the motion was denied. Another big point of contention in the Lori Daybell pretrial hearing. Lori said the police department ignored her public records request. The judge responded with a little judicial shrug. There's a process for that, but he's not about to give her step-by-step guidance. She asked him directly, what is that? He replied, I'm not going to give you legal advice. That one landed with a bit of silence to Lori. But here's another snippet, a little 4 minutes or so of the action that we saw in the trial. Or the pretrial hearing of Lori Vallow Daybell just the other day. Supposedly, we will see this in 1 second. As soon as it, there we go. Here we go.
Murder in the.
That's not it.
That's okay. You had it up there, but computers do their own things. Clearly.
Here we go. Now I think it's.
We were precluded from doing all those things. By the state. They should not be interfering with that. That's one of the reasons why everything has taken so long. We haven't been given things we've asked the state for. We haven't been given them. We tried to get them from Chandler and Gilbert. We can't get them from them. She's stopping us from getting from them. How are you supposed to put together a defense?
So when your prior defense counsel put in that request back in September, the state says that they obtained those information and gave it to your attorneys on October 1. So why are we waiting until March to address this if you had an issue with that?
I have had an issue with it the whole time.
But why didn't you file a why didn't someone file a motion back in after, you know, December, November, January, February, saying they had an issue with this?
I did. These are in my motions to you for specific discovery. I discussed this exact problem.
Okay. Well, now you're saying it arises to prosecutorial misconduct.
It is.
This is the first I've been made aware of that, as far as I know, that this that the police department never honored the public records request. If they don't honor a public records request, there's a process to go through regarding that.
Which is what?
I'm not going to give you legal advice.
Oh, God.
All right. Your second allegation, the prosecutorial misconduct, we've already kind of dealt with, that she distributed the state distributed attorney-client privileged communication. We've discussed that. The next one is legal advice to defense witness Nate Eaton. We've somewhat discussed that, but I think their motion, the state says that they simply notified him that he would need to be served with a subpoena to have to appear in court. So how is that improper?
Bum, bum, bum.
It's taking her word for that that's what happened. She's not under oath saying that that's what happened. Nate Eaton's not here to testify that that's what happened. They're the only two parties that are there to say that that is what happened. So that is my problem with it. I would like for one of them to get on the stand and say exactly what happened in that conversation and that she wasn't giving him legal advice. How do we know that she wasn't? It's a very curious situation that he called her and then he writes in his motion this statement that obviously comes from Ms. Kay. She seems to be a clear attempt by Ms. Daybell to use the rules of criminal procedure as a pretext simply to keep me out of the courtroom and interfere with my ability to report. We also don't know if he told her, don't come to the March 18th hearing because that's when they're going to serve you with your subpoena. So all these Jesus. Things come from there, and we don't know who's saying it, and you're just taking her word for it like you took her word for, oh, there's only six emails and there's no other emails. You're just taking her word for it as an officer of the court, and I think that she should have to be sworn in.
Well, you want me to just take your word for he must have gotten these things from Ms. Kay, okay? Just because his motion says he thinks that you're noticing him as a witness to keep him out of the courtroom? I don't know why you'd take the jump to that is coming from Ms. Kay as opposed to his own volition. He also hired an attorney that said the same thing. Even if she had said you need to be served with a subpoena to have to show up in court, that is not an ethical violation.
Well, giving legal advice is an ethical violation. Is that correct?
Stating what the law is not an ethical violation.
I think it'd be fun to make like a play out of her testimony where you literally have to dramatically read it word for word.
Yeah.
It'd be rather interesting to do so. Because I mean,
she stresses me out to listen to her.
She doesn't make any sense. It's word salad. It's just, it's like a frustrated child that's trying to argue law.
Mm-hmm.
And she just throws words out and hopes they do something. This is why you don't represent yourself. Even the worst possible public defender would be doing a better job than Lori Vallow. But Lori Vallow is nuts. And also, you know, a malignant narcissist as well. So it has to be the narrative that she's going to control, even if it's going to go way the hell off the rails.
That was just bad. And that was 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Of an hour and some where she is just berating the judge and he's just sitting there at one point puts his head on his hand like, okay, here we go. And you can hear exasperation in his voice. Mm-hmm. He just sounds like, are we done? Are we done?
Here's some of the coverage of Lori and the judge discussing her her detective that she's brought on. I bet this guy's just doing it to write a book. Don't you think?
Most likely.
I mean, like my experience with Lori. Let's take a look at how this had panned out.
I guess let me flesh this out a little bit more. Let me ask the defendant: You've said a couple different things. Are you saying he's not qualified as an expert, or just that the disclosure came in late and you don't think his opinion is relevant?
Well, one, I don't think his opinion is relevant, but also the fact that he's named as a firearms expert. So I don't know if he took a weekend class and that made him a firearms expert. I don't know what his experience was with that. In his CV, it just says firearms expert. So
did you ask him those questions? Was it you that interviewed him or your investigator?
My investigator interviewed him.
Do you know if he asked questions regarding his background,
sure,
training or expertise?
She leans over to talk to the like assistant that she has that's an attorney but can't do anything.
So I haven't listened to that yet, so I'm not quite sure. My concern was that he was a regular detective on the witness list for 5 years, and then 30 days before trial, he's now an expert so that he can give his opinion. And I just thought that was my objection.
What does that even mean?
Well, if that was your basis of the objection on the timeliness of it, the state did comply with the rules as far as notice prior to trial and giving some sort of summary of what his opinion testimony would be. I'll take a look at it. It doesn't sound like we need any sort of Daubert hearing, but I'll take a look at it. So let's table that for now. I have defendant's motion to disclose 404B evidence dated March 14 and the state's response dated March 23. I don't know that the evidence that the state is offering to introduce necessarily 404B bad act per se.
It's like she's just like filing shit and really doesn't even know what the hell she's filing in a lot of this.
She has no clue. She's just looking through probably a law book going, okay, well, this might work. This might work.
Throwing a dart. Here's another piece of it talking about the defendant's motion to exclude some very specific witnesses in this case. Let's see how this goes.
Have next, defendant's motion to exclude state witnesses dated March 14 of 2025 and the state's response, specifically defendants requesting to exclude Nancy Jo Hancock, Christina Atwood, and Kay Woodcock. The state filed a response on why let me just make sure I'm looking at the right one. The state's going to offer some sort of testimony from these three witnesses that are going to talk about it'd go toward the element of premeditation and or motive. So what is your objection specifically?
No. Sorry.
She doesn't even know the ball's in her court right now.
Mine, Your Honor?
Yes.
Oh, my objection was that after their interviews, after their defense interviews, that it came to light that their information came, well, one specifically came from Dateline, and then they called each other, and their information came from each other. So,
what?
I guess I'm working a little bit in the dark. What information is that?
Whatever they're, I don't know, planning on testifying about. None of them have personal knowledge of any kind of crime, so.
Oh, my God.
The state's not saying they have personal knowledge of a crime. They have personal knowledge of things that may lead a jury to infer some sort of premeditation or motive. So what information is that? Let me ask the state. Or what's your offer of proof on why they're relevant?
With regards to Christina Atwood, she is a person who...
So they go through all the reasons why it's valid and Lori's out of her mind.
Yeah.
Everyone in that room is probably like, why are we here? Why are we doing this? What is the purpose of this? We have like this injured caged animal over here that can't complete a sentence.
Yeah.
And she's going to represent herself because they don't have the insanity law there. This is why you need the insanity law. When this sort of thing comes up, it shouldn't be abused, but there are times where it does come into play. And this, I think, would certainly be one of them.
It feels like we are watching Legally Blonde in real life.
Legally Blonde on meth.
Yeah, at least Elle Wood was, or Elle Woods, or whatever her name was. She was a law student, and she was bright. She was just a little ditzy at times, but she was actually smart. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what's going on here. Well, you nailed it.
There's
really
nothing going on there. That's the problem. It's just a brain that's firing left and right, and it's just completely out of control. That's what's happening here. You're watching someone who is mentally ill pretend to be their own attorney and operate within the confines of a legitimate court. It's like one of those television shows where you go out and the only people who are in on the joke are the actors that are doing it, and they go and film in the rest of the world, and people are like, what the hell is going on here? I love those type of shows, but they're fake. You know, they're not exactly something that is real life, but it feels like this is one giant punked on the court. Like, this is what you have to deal with.
Well, she had trouble navigating in the real world. I can't expect her to navigate inside a courtroom.
No.
Most of us can't.
No, most of us cannot at all. So it's just, again, I feel like some of this is very much, I mean, it's a circus at this point. This is just mm-hmm. a shit show fire that you can't turn away from because it's so bad. But and I know people are thinking, well, she killed her children. Yeah, she did. And she's a horrible, horrible human being. But do we need to be sitting there, you know, keep prodding her with, you know, cattle pokers? Can we just put her away somewhere? Can we just end this for everyone? Because clearly she's nuts. She's not competent.
Well, but she has to be given due process, and she has to be given a fair trial, because if the judge does any missteps, you know, gets frustrated with her or doesn't allow her to do some stupid thing she wants to do, then she gets to claim all kinds of rights were violated. So we have to play along and really just watch the shit show.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, because that's what the law is there. They don't have the insanity, but that's why they need the insanity thing, because a lot of trials never actually happen because they go, this person can't stand trial. They don't understand what the hell's going on.
And yeah, exactly.
From what we're seeing here, I don't really think she has a great grasp on what's going on. I don't think we've heard this part, but let's take a
look. Complaint is the interference by the state, Ms. K in particular.
Have we heard this?
In stopping that and interfering with us trying to investigate and do our own investigation. It is a violation of the constitutional right and due process. And she did do it, and she did do it purposefully. And then after she did it, and we weren't allowed to have anything from either of the police departments, then she filed her motion. And then later, the day that I was ruled 11, rule 11,
she was ruled 11. That's about accurate.
Said that you denied that motion. So I don't know what she did or what she said to Chandler and Gilbert to stop them from giving us any information. But as soon as we put in a request, we were cut off. No information. You can't have anything. That's when I was trying to, the big video that we're trying to get in Gilbert, that's what I was trying to request. I tried to request that myself because I would have my investigator to go and explain what that was and why we didn't have it. And so we were precluded from doing all those things by the state. They should not be interfering with that. That's one of the reasons why everything has taken so long. We haven't been given things we've asked the state for. We haven't been given them. We tried to get them from Chandler and Gilbert. We can't get them from them.
Oh, now
she's stopping us from getting from them. How are you supposed to put together a defense?
So when your
this part we've heard.
Prior defense counsel put in.
I mean, this is. She's playing the victim because she can't do anything else. I mean, she's just backed into the corner, and this is where it's all going to stand.
It's ugly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at like the text of her testimony. And it's just it's hard to read again because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I'm talking. It's taking her word for that. That's what happened. She's not under oath saying that's what happened. Nate Eaton's not here to testify. That's what happened. That's the only two parties that are there to say that is what happened. That is my problem with it. I would like for one of them to get on the stand to say exactly what happened in that conversation. I mean, it's just
Can you imagine dealing with her in real life? I mean, she has her own version of reality. And it's not founded in actual, in this no. realm, you know? Wow.
So there's a little preview.
I wonder if she were to go through a drive-through, if her experience would be vastly different than anybody else's, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's going to be funny if somebody just like happens to like first begin listening to this, like midway through some of her testimony or her representing herself, people would be like, what the hell is going on here? If you know nothing about her, mm-hmm. you'd think, is mm-hmm. she having a stroke?
Yeah.
I mean, it really, I mean, anybody else who would be speaking like that in a court of law, are you okay? Do we need to get medical assistance for you? Because that's what it really has become to feel like in this case. Well, there's your preview. There's a lot more to come as Lori Vallow Daybell sinks her ship just a little bit more in the coming days. We'll bring it to you right here. Press subscribe.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. You just made it through an episode of Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Congrats on surviving the ads. Want to skip them completely next time?
What is that?
Join the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts. Ad-free episodes, exclusive early access, and no interruptions. Just pure crime storytelling. Try it free for 3 days. Don't wait.
Bitchin' stuff. Dude.
Hit subscribe now on Apple Podcasts and get ahead of the mystery.
You know what I'm saying? Come on.